something working. Always under pressure. Hobbs' kick out wide. Needs tried hard. Nick Smith, and there's the siren, and all smiles for the Sydney Swans. They have dismantled Port Adelaide at home tonight in front of 50,000. A 48-point win to the Sydney Swans.
So welcome to episode one of Swanscast, the first ever Sydney Swans dedicated podcast. My name is Liam Flanagan, and joining me, as he will hopefully every week, Luke McManus.
I'll be floating around, Liam. Don't worry about that. I'll be in front of my computer. I'll be probably halfway through a report or something of the day's news.
Well, Luke, this, as I said, first episode, hopefully not the last, but if it is the last episode, let's enjoy it.
Yes.
We'll get through. We've got plenty to get through today, but the purpose of this podcast, Luke, there's plenty of news that goes on in the mainstream media. You hear all the press conference audio. You hear the players speaking with the Channel 9s and the Channel 7s and the radios and all the rest of it. We want to give the members of the Sydney Swans an inside look into what goes on at their footy club. We're going to be chatting with players. We're going to be chatting with officials. And if we can't get those chats, we'll impersonate those players and we'll impersonate those officials.
We'll just make them up.
Exactly. So everything you hear on here, take with a grain of salt, especially if you hear Luke or myself doing a dodgy impersonation of Buddy Franklin. Have we got Buddy on the show today, Luke?
No. We don't, unfortunately. That's one in the memory bank, and I've already hit him up in the hallway. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, he loves this sort of stuff. So maybe that's one for later on in the season.
We're already forward teasing to future episodes. They can't shut us down. First episode, they can't shut us down. We've got Buddy lined up, I reckon round 16. Around that time, we'll get Buddy. Let's jump straight into it, Luke. We're coming off the back of what was got to be a standout win across the AFL competition. Final score, the Swans travelled down to Adelaide Oval on Saturday night and just absolutely put Port to the sword at what a lot of people are calling one of the hardest places to win in the competition.
The Fortress,
the Adelaide Oval. They've got their, they even had, so confident were Port, they had the INXS boys on field beforehand.
Not just the song, the actual the fellas.
They're
out there with the Port scarves and everything.
Yep, they had Tim Farris and John Farris there from INXS as part of their pre-game tradition, and it was all for nothing. The Swans running away with it 14-8-92, Port 6-8-44. So if my maths is correct, 48-point winners, and what people, as I said, are calling one of the toughest road trips in the AFL at the moment. So
nice little roller coaster start for us, isn't it? 2-0, yeah, we got the two wins, but against the Bombers at ANZ Stadium, for the first three quarters, geez, it didn't look good. And then that last quarter, 7-0, and we just ran away with it. And then we just ran into the following week.
The Swans have that tradition of not necessarily getting a lot of wins in the preseason comp. So I think this year, the preseason comp just stretched into those first three quarters of round one. Since the fourth quarter against the Bombers, the boys have been switched on. And again, that performance against Port at Adelaide Oval was just... The thing that I most took out of it was the evenness of the contribution. I don't think there was a passenger on the day. Even Goodsy, when he got on late in the game, being the sub, still playing his role. And there's been a lot of discussion about that. What is Goodsy's role going to be this year? He was subbed out of the first game and then he was started as the sub in the second game. But I think it's a sign of the man that Adam Goodsy is, that he is prepared to play that team role for the Swans and for his side, and happy to start in the green vest. A couple of performances that I wanted to speak about in particular. Lance Franklin, he's the biggest name in town. But his efforts on the weekend, he finished with 3 goals, 1, 17 disposal. But that's not what I want to talk about, Luke.
I knew you didn't.
I want to talk about the tackles. He and Kurt Tippett finished the game with 8 tackles.
Is that unheard of with a? But no, I got this stat up early in the week.
You've done some research.
I have done some research.
Okay.
It's not the first time that Buddy's done this. He's done this. Had another 8 tackles in a game beforehand.
Yep.
Last year.
Yep.
For the Swans.
Right.
So he's reached that. But 6 or more tackles a game, he's done that 18 times.
So
before.
My first question that jumps into my head when I hear about both he and Tipo getting this many tackles in a game. That is so far for them to bend down. Both of these blokes are, you know, Tipo's got to be 7'6". Buddy's got to be around 7 foot as well. They're tackling these on-ballers who are, you know, 5 foot nothing. It's a long way. They're giving away 2 feet just to tackle these guys. It's a long way to get down.
Their agility is amazing, and it's amazing to see. And, I mean, you can't put anything else beyond Buddy. I mean, what else is he more capable of?
Definitely, if not the most exciting, one of the most exciting players in the competition. He's worth the ticket price every week to come and check out. Another person I wanted to speak about, Josh Kennedy. I mean, 36 disposals, 9 tackles, just lives and breathes contested footy. Around the club, is he just constantly walking through conversations?
With the ball?
is he just barging through people's conversation just because he wants to feel that body contact?
We hardly see him. He must just save it all out. Mate, just save it for the park, yeah. I think. Yeah. You never see him in the hallways, but when you do, he's a really friendly guy.
Yeah.
But out in the park, he's just game on, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he's. I mean, if opposition coaches don't spend at least a full day working out how to combat Josh Kennedy before they take on the Swans, I mean, it's a scary proposition because he's such a big body, and yet he racks up 36 disposals through the midfield.
And then you focus all your energy on Kennedy, and then the likes of Jack, Hanbury, Bird even, McVeigh coming back from an injury, and Luke Parker.
Very even performance. We could go through a whole bunch of other players. I mean, Jeddah, 2 goals, 2, 20 disposals. Hanbury, 28 disposals. And how was that? That just little... Was it on his left?
Was on it his
just,
left. Just it was a trickling, running goal on his left.
It was beautiful. It was all that, you know, Kieran Jack finished with a goal on 31 disposals.
But do you know what set it up? A Tipo tackle.
Tipo.
One of his 8 tackles. That's what set it up and had to be dribbled at home. But I was more impressed with his running goal from the middle onto his left. He's kicked it nearly 50 metres on his left. And, geez, didn't he get pumped after that? Even with the tape around his head.
He just loved it.
You
mentioned the tape on the head. Who do you reckon Hannes would have to be up there as one of the players who spends most time getting his head bandaged up?
There's a reason for that, because he's just head first in everything.
I reckon Jude Bolton would have had it down pat through his career. That many head knocks and that many cuts to the head, he would have had it figured out. The medical staff probably used to just hand him the tape, say, you know what you're doing, Jude. You know, and I reckon Dan Hannabury's headed towards that sort of, get it, tape someone's... it up, get me back out there.
Someone's going to just start the game with it.
Yeah,
I reckon
that's you know what, you're not too far.
Might as well.
What we need to get, we need to see if we can sort Dan Hannabury out with a personal sponsorship by some sort of tape manufacturer.
Elastoplast.
Elastoplast. There we go. Dan Hannabury has brought to you by Elastoplast. Now I do have a bone to pick about the weekend. I'm not happy because Isaac Heaney. How has this bloke not got a Rising Star nomination?
It's a farce, isn't it?
How has this bloke not got a Rising Star nomination? He's played 2 games. He's played both games so far. He's averaging 17 disposals a game. He's averaging 12 kicks and 5 handballs a game. 4 marks. He's averaging half a goal a game. A very important goal that he did kick, his first in AFL in round 1. Look, his accuracy is a little off. He's averaging 1.5 points per game. But he's 4.5 tackles. And, you know, he's a first-year player who, I mean...
Doesn't look out of place at all.
They have to have had him in the gym since they recruited him, because I had a look at his draft photo the other day, and he's put on some size. He's put on some serious size. So he's got the body to mix it, but how he has not got a Rising Star nomination, you know, to borrow a phrase from a rugby league coach, Jeff Toovey, there's got to be an investigation. I don't understand how he hasn't got the nod yet.
Oh, look, who knows... I'm tipping maybe in the next 3 rounds.
We'll
see it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
He has been... I mean, the Swans have had the luxury over the past couple of years with the level of success they've had to blood youngsters, to pardon the pun, but blood youngsters when they need to. They've had no need to rush them in to the side like some other developing teams have had to. But for Isaac Heaney to be a first-year player and essentially command a starting position every week is just, I mean, it's a tip of the hat to the academy system, but it's also a tip of the hat to the Swans coaching staff and how they've got him to develop and get him into the game plan of the Sydney Swans.
Plenty of faith shown in him, in Heaney, and he's stood up. And I mean, Heaney will keep getting better, and it's a scary proposition for other clubs.
Well, I reckon Isaac is someone we definitely need to get on the Swans cast at some point. You get your little army to source Isaac, and we'll see if we can get him. Something we are going to do each week on the show, Luke, is Horses Heroes. Now, the umpires decide the Brownlow, but we are going to decide. We're going to have our own little award for the Swans cast. It's Horses Hero. We have these private conversations with John Longmire after each game. Can't say that he's endorsed the votes every week, but, you know, we pick the brain of John Longmire after the game every week, and we get a bit of an insight. It's not necessarily who kicked the most goals, or it's not necessarily who had the most touches, but it's those efforts and those 1%ers that typify how the Swans play footy. And each week we've got 5 votes to give out. And we're going to have a bit of a conversation now to decide who gets the 5 votes from round 2 against Port. Personally, and if I want to put them up, and we can give them to as many players as we want. So we can give 5 players 1 vote, we can give 1 player 5 votes, or we can give 2 players 2 votes and 1 player 1 vote, if that works out to be 5 votes.
It does. your maths is correct.
Well, let me, I want to chuck it out there. I want to give Tipo 5.
Tipo,
I want to give
5?
Tipo 5 votes.
Votes.
I want to give Tipo 5 votes. He's 7 foot
straight
eight.
Straight in.
He's 7 foot eight, and he's tackling blokes who are 5 foot tall.
Wow, I did not expect that. I thought that you just.
Where do you see some blokes?
Spent the last 20 minutes talking up Joey Kennedy.
No, I know. Joey had a good game as well, but I just think Tipo's so big and so tall. He had 8 tackles. I want to give him 5 votes.
5 votes.
Where do you see some votes going?
I can see. Well, the obvious one is Joey. I'd at least give him 3.
You want to
give
Joey 3? 3. All right.
And I would give 1 each to Buddy and Tipo.
All right. Well, can I meet you halfway? Can we say that we'll give Joey 2 votes? Yeah, no, I can't argue with Joey 3, can I? I got a bit carried away with Tipo. I think I got a bit carried away. I actually think you've hit the nail on the head. Josh Kennedy for the 3.
Impact, I'm thinking.
Josh
impact.
Kennedy for the 3.
And this is, we're all about impact here on the Swans cast. We're all about impact. So impact players on the weekend. Joey Kennedy, you can't go past it. 36 touches.
Against Port midfield.
Against the Port, the ever-strong Port midfield.
That everyone has been talking up as one of the most potent in the comp. All right, well, since you've actually brought some sense and logic to this
which I think I might have to do throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, you might have to. I get a bit excited. I get a bit carried away. All right, let's go with, so the votes for round 2, Swans v Port. Josh Kennedy for the 3 votes. Kurt Tippett 1 vote and Lance Franklin 1 vote. My only concern, look, I tell you what, if it comes back and Kurt Tippett loses this award at the end of the year by 3 votes, we're going to come back to this first Swans cast, and I'm going to be telling Tippo exactly who robbed him of the award. The other significant part of the game on the weekend was Ted Richards. Milestone game, his 200th in the AFL. It has been a terrific career, hasn't it?
It has. Since he arrived from Essendon, I mean, he said it himself last week, and I caught up with him yesterday. It took him, played 33 games at Essendon, but it took him 5 years. And yeah, he didn't really know where his football was going until he arrived at the Swans. And it's turned into such a decorated career. And he's become a fan favourite. Everybody loves him.
Teddy.
Everybody loves him here. And he's just a gentle giant, really, of that defensive half.
He's impossible not to like. And you mentioned that you caught up with him. Let's have a listen to your chat with Teddy.
All right, we're here with Ted Richards, our evergreen defender. Fresh from his 200th game for the club. Welcome, Ted.
Oh, thanks.
Mates, last week, last Saturday night, it was an amazing game. From the outer, watching, the pressure was immense. What was it like on field?
I guess it all started, you know, with everything that they do before the game. I think it's probably the loudest stadium in Australia. And the fireworks, you know, possibly going a bit over the top with, you know, in excess, you know, singing the song and everything like that. But to be fair, it really did add to the atmosphere. And then from then on, it was really physical, intense footy. And I think we were kind of able to really kind of absorb that pressure that they had from the start of the game, and then it was really in the second half that we started to pull away a bit.
Tell us about the pre-game stuff that the Port do. What do the players think of that? Obviously, the fans get around it. What do the players think? Is it over the top, or is it actually get the blood running?
No, it's great that what Port do, in that the fans march from the city into the stadium, and it'd be great, you know, if every team kind of really embraced the match day, game day experience as much as they do, because they really do take it to another level, and the fans love it, the players love it, and I'm sure, hopefully, they'd like to think that it's intimidating for the opposition team, but you speak to all the Swans boys, and we love it because we love playing in the big games on the big stage, and that's as exciting as big as you can get. So it's a real privilege, and the Port fans, they're great. They create a great environment. So we love it.
Obviously, you being a defender, you know all about, you know, the pressure that's needed to bottle the ball up. Usually, it's coming your way. So watching Buddy and Tippo do it up the other end, to have 8 tackles each from key forwards must have been a very special stat to have.
Yeah, so it's an important stat in that if we can get the repeat entries, it really builds the pressure for the opposition. And a lot of people speak about Buddy's ability to, you know, do the freakish skill, you know, kick the goals and, you know, running and the bouncing, but his ability to do the chase down tackles is something that, one, is important for the team, but it also gets the guys up about, you know, seeing someone that doing the hard things like that. He did a few of them on the weekend. So did the other guys. Tippo now seems to be having a great little balance in his game, both forward and back, and having an impact, you know, in those stoppages. So, when the big guys are getting their hands dirty and chasing the guys down, it really does have a big impact on the rest of the team.
Yeah, especially Tippo, sharing the ruck duties as well. He had something like 28 hit-outs. And, you know, just another string to his bow.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, I've got a lot of respect for Paddy Ryder, who's a really good aggressive ruckman. So credit to Pikey and Tippo. They really balanced it well. And, it was a real credit to them and a reason why we're able to have the win that we did.
Now, it was your 200th game for the club. You obviously played 33 games before arriving at the SCG. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah, it has. And so it took me 5 years to play 33 games at Essendon. And that was a real roller coaster there. And even despite that, even at the Swans, you know, like every AFL career, I've had my ups and downs with form and injuries. But to be able to play 200 games here is something that I never really thought would be attainable. So I was very proud, and to have my family and my wife over in Adelaide for the game and to have the win that we did made it even more special. So I was very lucky.
How are milestones treated around at the Swans? Is there any certain build-up during the week, or is it pretty much low-key?
We try and keep things, the routine, as similar as we can, because it's what works for us and we don't want to drift too much from what works. But at the same time, it does create a lot of excitement. And even Dane Ramsey played his 50th game, and that may not be a prestigious or well-spoken about milestone in the public, but I can remember how excited I was to play my 50th game. And I can still remember playing against Melbourne on the MCG, and it does get, you know, everyone up, and it's for me to play in the milestone, it's something very exciting. But, and Kevin Sheedy used to always say this, they only really count when you win, because you can't celebrate them when you lose. And I've had quite a few milestone games that like my 150th, where we got smacked against Collingwood at Etihad Stadium, and which I've, you know, I've put that at the back of my mind. So you really want to win your milestones, otherwise they're not nowhere near as special.
And you didn't get chaired off?
I did get chaired off. Yeah.
Who did you seek to get chaired off?
No, I didn't seek. I'm not going around. But it was quite funny because we had two little pockets of great Swan support at Amy, but both of those were total separate parts of the stadium to where we were. We had our race. So when I got chaired off by Pikey and Reg Grundy,
because you would have been nice and high up.
I was very nice. I was high up, and I was incredibly safe and secure with those guys under me. But I can remember looking up to the crowd, and there was just no one there because the Port fans had taken off 10 or 15 minutes before. So I gave a few fist pumps, and was pretty excited, but at the same time there was just no one there.
Yeah, during the week where there wasn't any highlights packages made up for you or anything like that, highlights really your best spoils throughout the course of your career?
No, surprisingly no. I don't know if spoils can fall under the definition of a highlights package.
To finish on, we've got this little who am I game.
Yeah, okay.
Just to see how well you know a particular teammate.
All right, I'm going to be pretty good at this.
You're pretty good at this? You know your teammates well?
I'll see how I go.
So, first question. So, we've picked a player.
Yep.
Of note, and we'll ask you about six questions.
Yep.
And see whether or not you can guess. And obviously, if you can guess after the first or second question, well, then you get the points. I was born on the 6th of December, 1993.
Okay, so he's 10 years younger than me. Okay, 22.
How do birthdays get? Do you get around each other's birthdays, or do they just kind of slip under the radar?
No, they slip under the radar.
Is there anyone in particular that walks into the change room and goes, boys, it's my birthday today, get around me?
No, the only birthday I know, that's probably Xavier's, because being my brother. But apart from that, I'm not good with birthdays. So, yeah.
That's a tough one to start
with. So he's 30. Sorry, he's 21. He's 21, okay. Next.
Next. I first played for Turvey Park in the Riverina League.
Oh, bang. Harry Cunningham.
Oh, he's got it.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah, good stuff.
Working Turvey Park, yeah.
Wow. So how did you pick up on that?
Oh, my wife's family are farmers just outside of Wagga. And Harry being a Turvey Park boy near Wagga. Yeah, there's a few things in common there. And apart from that, enjoy his company.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, you do know your teammates well, mate. And at the end of our player interview, we want the player to nominate someone else to drop in next week for our next edition of Swan's Cast. Okay. So who do you nominate?
Okay.
Or who'd be open to sit down with this to starters?
I'll nominate fellow defender Nick Smith. Nick Smith, he'd be a great person to have because now that he's all Australian, he's very happy to kind of talk and open up and about his career. 12 months ago, it would have been different, but the new Nick Smith, he's very exciting and very different to the old Nick Smith.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Well, Nick, you've been dobbed in, mate. Well, Teddy, thanks again for dropping in to Swanscast and opening up things for season 2015. We'll hope to chat to you throughout the course of the season.
Done.
It was an amazing chat I had with Teddy yesterday. He's such a humble man that he doesn't mind dobbing in his fellow teammates.
That was pretty quick.
It was quick.
It was quick off the hip.
It was. I was very impressed with his who am I answers.
Oh, mate, absolutely. I think it's always, you know all your teammates, but to know them as intimately as you know, to be able to pick him off the second question, he set a pretty high benchmark.
He did say come in. He did come in and say, "Oh, I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at this. I know my teammates well."
Well, if we look at the leaderboard, Ted Richards, second question. Well, I mean, it'll be someone is going to have to be able to guess their teammate off the first question to go past him on the leaderboard. So, Ted Richards setting a very high benchmark early on, I guess, which is a bit indicative of the man. But what I'm now excited about talking to the new Nick Smith. I mean, I've never spoken to the old Nick Smith, but I just
don't think anyone has.
Now, the other thing that we will do on the Swans cast is always keep an eye on the reserves. There's, a whole bunch of other blokes on the Swans list who are some at different stages of their career. And each week we will try and catch up with some of the coaches involved with the reserve side, as well as, potentially some of the younger players who are perhaps in their first or second years of the club, going through different development stages, to find out how they went on the weekend and have a bit of a chat about that side as well. And I believe, Luke, you've caught up with one of the coaching staff this week.
We're joined by co-coach Marty Matner of the Swans NEAFL update. Now, Marty, we obviously had a really solid win on Saturday in Canberra.
Yeah, definitely. Really good effort from the boys. Sort of started a bit slowly, but our sort of last half was really good and really impressive for a couple of guys. And it's good to see a great win first round.
What impressed you most about the boys' win? Obviously, there's things and areas to work on, but what impressed you the most?
Probably, I guess, the big guys. We had Toby Nankervis, Sam Naismith, Aaliyah Aaliyah and Xavier Richards. They all really played really good games, and you know, the ruckman gave us midfield first option, and they kicked three goals each. And then the defenders, yeah, they, you know, stopped their Ainsley's ball going in 450, and then rebounded really well, and I think between them at 21 intercept mark. So really good effort from those four players, which is really pleasing.
I was there at Ainsley, and you know, just for the record, Swans 16-12, 108 to Ainsley 6-15, 51. So yeah, really solid win. Aaliyah, I noticed was really 9 rebounds on the back line there, had a really good game. Very composed with the ball.
Yeah, it's probably one of his strengths is his ball use. I'm really good with it. But yeah, we've been working on, I guess Aaliyah's been working on his defensive side of his game, because he's always been really good on, I guess, the attacking and his ball use. So it sort of showed, I guess, with he had a lot of spoils and a lot of set marks. So it goes to show his body's work, been working well, he has in the pre-season. And he's had a really good game. And yeah, along with him and T. Richards, they've been pretty good down back in terms of those key positions. And they're really important at the moment, because, you know, they're playing against really good players. And GWS this week, you've got some tall forwards as well. So
Xavier Richards, sorry. They're very similar. They're very similar players. You touched on that ruck combination of Sammy Naismith and Toby Nankervis. Their ability to, first of all, win the hitouts and then float forward and take a strong grab was quite noticeable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the moment, we've got sort of at least two, if not three, tall ruckmen playing. Tommy Dirks was out this week, but he played last week. So in terms of that, they're going to have to, one or two are going to have to play forward some of the game. So their ability to take marks will at least give us a contest, so our smalls can get on the ground and kick the goals. But this week they took a few marks. Sean McLaren kicked four as well from some marks as well, so that was good to see. But yeah, I guess at the moment we're really tall, so we need to exploit that and try and use that to our advantage.
Now, there was one player obviously playing on Saturday. All eyes was in him and his return from injury, Ben McGlynn. How did you see his going?
Yeah, Benny was good. He was a bit time restricted, so I think he finished halfway through the last quarter, so he pulled him off the ground. So, but it was good. It was good to see him, I guess, get back into some, you know, physical contact and some just playing a game. Him and Tommy Mitchell played mainly through the midfield and half forward, so it was good for them to, I guess, bring some leadership back to the reserves. We've sort of been lacking that, I guess, in the last few weeks. Those two have played senior footy, so they know what it's all about. And it's good, I guess, to show the young guys that, you know, if you work hard, you can get and do the right things in the twos, you can get into the seniors as well, and hopefully they'll get picked in the next few weeks.
And obviously looking towards Saturday, we've got a nice little curtain raiser to the main game against the Giants, so the boys looking forward to that?
Yeah, definitely. I think we played them 2 weeks ago in a trial, so which we just lost by, I think, 2 goals or 3 goals. So it was a close game in the wet. But yeah, this week, I guess, season proper, round two, and it'd be good to play them on our home ground and get a really good win. Said the boys improved over their 3 games they've played so far this year. And, yeah, we're just going to keep working on a few little things and, yeah, keep improving and I guess, keep playing well. It's good to win and it's good to play well. For the boys,
is there a burning desire to you know, make up for last year's kind of heartbreak?
I think it's important to have a winning culture, like to be a winning team, but there's also the bigger picture of preparing the guys to play AFL footy. You know, we'd rather win a senior premiership and the seniors be playing well and winning games, but it also is nice for the reserves, to the NEAFL, to to play good footy and to play winning. It's a good culture to have, and it's a lot more enjoyable when we're winning.
and probably, as you said last week, experience that, you know, finals footy and a grand final.
Yeah, definitely.
For a lot of those young kids.
Yeah, for last year, I think them to play, you know, the finals and to play in a grand final was a great experience for them. And if that means they're going to become better players, then that's a great thing for them. And, yeah, and like I said, we seniors want to play finals footy, but so do the NEFL, and they want to get exposure and to play in the big games as well.
Yeah, so Swans fans, if you're getting down to the SCG, get down there a little bit earlier because you're going to get to see a few of the young fellas run around for the Swans NEFL side, and there's some talented boys in that side. I tell you, you know, you don't beat Ainslie by 57 points if you're not playing well and got some talent. So
yeah.
And as Marty Matner said earlier, the most impressive thing to see out of that was just the balance across the ground. It was Sammy Naismith and Toby Nankervis, three goals, the ruck combination there. Sean McLaren, four goals, really got around the in the centre of the circle when they sung the song. Powerade just drenched his long locks. It was a really good sight to see.
Because there's a bit of ginger in those locks, isn't
there? There's a bit of ginger just on the top lip here. On the little top lip.
I'd be hoping they poured red Gatorade or Powerade over the top.
Just to keep it consistent.
Yeah, exactly right. Natural segue. You know, we'll get smoother at these, Luke. These segues will come a bit more smoother the more of these we do. But you mentioned that they will be playing the curtain raiser match this weekend. Let's have a chat about this weekend's game. The Derby. 4:35. Is the first bounce at the SCG, but as Luke mentioned, the Swans reserves will be playing the curtain raiser, so get along and support those boys.
Kicks off at about 12:55. Sure. I'm pretty sure.
Beautiful.
So get out there. It's you know, the first opportunity this year to see some red and white on the SCG.
It is, isn't it? Mm. It feels like you forget that first round, that round one game was played at ANZ Stadium. But let's get back to this round three clash. It is the Swans versus the Giants at the SCG. It's the Sydney Derby, both teams, two wins. Some potential matchups I wanted to touch on with you, Luke. The man we spoke to today, Ted Richards. A potential matchup with Jeremy Cameron. I think it could go a long way to deciding this game.
It could. Sam Reed did play on him when the Giants met Sydney in Canberra.
Right.
Shared the duties with him. Yep. So we might see a little bit of that again.
Yeah.
Sammy Reed, obviously getting tried in defence this year,
has been
exceptional.
Well.
He's been quite good the last couple of weeks. So we could again see that. Teddy's experience will be needed here. Mm. Obviously, Jeremy Cameron's a dangerous player. Can kick multiple goals, has got great hands and has good kicks. So his experience and obviously Reedy's exuberance down there, youth, obviously new to the back line, but that can go a long way.
It'll be interesting to see, and I think, as you mentioned, if Reedy gets the job on Cameron, he's more than capable of, you know, two very athletic young footballers. It'll be an exciting battle to watch. And I just think that with that back, that support network that exists down back for the Swans, you know, if Reedy finds himself out of position in a contest, you've got Grundy or Ted to come across.
They work together well.
They do. They genuinely work as a back six. And lastly, Mummy, the big Mummy. You know, he's a bit like Nick Malcheski. You know, he's a former Swan, so dear to
probably
our hearts.
Probably still close to many Sydney supporters' hearts.
Yes, of course. And, you know, he hasn't left the city, so it hurts that little bit more. But he started the season very strongly again. How will our big Canadian, how will Mike Pike go against Mummy?
Oh, look, I think the combination of Tipo and Mike Pike will be crucial here. I think Mummy's experience, and he's a big boy. Look, it's going to be a really good battle in there. I'm really looking forward to that matchup in particular to see how we combat the big Mummy.
Yeah, it'll be an absolutely, I don't want to use a cliche early on, but it'll be a ding dong battle, Luke.
How many cliches like that are we going
to
use?
That's if we check the cliche counter, which I've got to my left. It has me at one and you at zero. You've been very controlled and very disciplined not to use
that
too
might
many.
Change as the season progresses, especially.
That is it for Swanscast episode one. That's what you'll get from us each and every week on the Swanscast. Bit of a review of the game, bit of a preview of next week. And, you know, a bit of a behind-the-scenes look at the Sydney Swans Footy Club. So, and look, we will set up some a bit of social media around the Swans cast.
A bit of interaction.
If you do listen to it, let us know.
If you've got any questions you want us to ask Nick Smith, feel free.
Absolutely, send them in. If you want to tweet at the Sydney Swans and just hashtag SwansCast. If you've got any questions you want us to put to Nick Smith next week, if you've got any thoughts, any, you know, constructive criticism, constructive feedback.
We always welcome feedback.
We want to improve the podcast.
Criticism, if you've got any criticisms of Liam's performance today, go for it.
If you've got any criticisms of my performance, feel free to, you know, keep them to yourself. No need to share those with me. I'm a confidence player, Luke. I need constant pats on the back. And but mate, thank you for helping me get through SwansCast numero uno. Make sure if you listen to this, you get out and support the Swannies this weekend against the Giants on Saturday at the SCG.
See you next week.